You played that girl in that movie with the guy with the. Yeah, sure. That's you. Ah, that's what I love about this job. I get to meet the stars.
I'm hardly a star.
What? You kidding? I love your stuff. The first was the best. My girlfriend's cut open and dragged across the ceiling. It was awesome. And when all that blood comes out of your boyfriend's bed, yeah, I thought I'd shit.
Hi, here are some quotes.
This is FilmSack. Oh, sure.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back. Oh, that didn't work. Hello. Hold on. Hey. Okay. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to FilmSack. This is FilmSack.
Either 14 or off. Those are your only choices.
FilmSack.com. What am I doing? Oh, 355 is the episode, reminding the very depths of film entertainment for all mankind. I'm Scott Johnson. I'm completely jacked up this morning. Joining me today, Brian, what if real life was like the dreams done away?
Oh, please shoot me. Oh, hi.
Hi.
And welcome to Autopsies Are Us, where our motto is, please don't cry. The head is going to be all right for the funeral. Now, if you could please excuse me for just a moment while I try to find an appropriate surface to put down my coffee and lemon poppy seed bread. Oh, wait, there is no such surface in a morgue. So why are we always eating in here? Do we not get breaks? Us morticians really need to unionize or maybe just go on a diet or something. Death makes me hungry. Let me just see what's under this sheet here. Maybe there's some place I could put... Oh my God! Oh, that's why we don't lift the sheet past the face. Oh, okay. poppy seed bread. Return to sender. Nope. Just some foamy milk substance.
Yeah. On the
You're
phone.
Welcome.
You're welcome. Thank you.
One, two, Dylan screaming for you. Okay, get that kid out of here.
All right, hold on. So much for my time ran a morgue.
Yeah, get the morgue out of there.
That I'll morgue, give you time to rewrite.
There's some good. I'm glad you noticed the morgue stuff because that's a weird stereotype, actually. It had a trope. People eating in a morgue. I don't get it. It's always a thing in the movie. You get the coffee. You get their little cake bread. It's weird. Also with us, Randy, something was scratching my crotch, I swear. Jordan.
Aloha, Scott. Brian. I've just been handed the full Freddy Krueger children's rhyme. Here we go. 1, 2, Freddy's coming for you. 3, 4, better lock the door. 5, 6, eat Weetabix. Okay. 7, 8, check your own prostate.
Ooh.
9, 10, touch your prostate again. Okay. 11, 12, in your bum you'll delve. 13, 14, you'll find a bean. Okay. 15, 16, plant the bean. 17, 18, it grows into a tree. 19, 20, you'd climb the tree. 21, 22,
does it go to 20?
The tree really grew. 23, 24, you're kind of bored. 25, 26, eat Weetabix. Weetabix, all the fiber you need to push the beans out of your colon.
Nice.
Weetabix.
That was a long way to get there, but you got there.
Yeah, you got
there. 26 before you got to a rhyme with that again?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. Think about it.
I actually wrote two rhyming intros. And I thought, nah,
wow.
Randy's going to do it.
You made the right choice, it looks like. Also with us, and finally, Brian, he uses his stuffed dinosaur to stop bad dreams too, Ibbit.
How do I top any of that stuff? Since one of my complaints last week about Hellbound was the lack of rules in Hell, I thought it'd be a good idea this week to talk about the rules of Freddy's dream world and what he can and can't do. Number one, Freddy can cause earthquakes. Freddy cannot straighten your framed pictures afterwards. Apparently, nobody can.
I love that.
Number two,
crazy.
Freddy can make your unplugged TV show reruns of Nightmare on Elm Street. However, he cannot show any of the scenes featuring Johnny Depp. It's true. Yeah. Number three, Freddy lives in the seat of your truck. Freddy cannot do anything about that fart smell. Number four, Freddy's tongue can travel through your phone as well as wrap around your neck and choke you. Freddy's tongue cannot pronounce the word bitch without a spray of spit all over himself. And finally, number five, Freddy can work with Wes Craven to turn your life into a script. However, Freddy cannot get a SAG card and get health benefits.
Yeah. Aww. Oh, that's too bad. He's got that skin condition. It's pre-existing.
It's a pre-existing condition.
Yeah, yes. You can't get that looked at anymore. It's too bad. You got to pay out of pocket, poor guy. Go to the ER. It'll be fine. Well done. Hey, everybody, check it out. We're doing our second. That's right. Second.
It's October.
Freddy movie. Yeah. Well, that.
It is. We've been calling it Scary October. I'm starting to call it Sad October, Boring October. I don't know what to call it. It's a
Schlocktober.
Hold on. This is our third. This is actually our third Halloween movie of the month, I guess, at this stage.
Fourth, and our fourth.
Our third,
right?
Is it our fourth?
Our third Halloween movie. Our third horror movie.
What was our first one?
So we started with that Stephen King thing.
Oh, right.
Oh, the village.
Yeah. Or not the village. Yeah, that was the village.
No. Dreamcatcher.
Dreamcatcher.
Oh. Shyamalan was the village.
Yeah. This is all going really well so far. Our memories are amazing. Just came right at us.
I thought we just did Dreamcatcher because we wanted to.
I don't know. Who knows? I think that was in September.
We wanted to.
Like, it's weird that we. I know why. It's because we had to. It was going out of Netflix the next day.
That's what the deal is. Right, October 1st was the right.
Yeah.
The
so we are
nation of Dreamcatcher.
But this is technically the second Wes Craven film I think we've ever done, unless we've done something. We never done like People Under the Door or however.
Yes, People Under the Door. You're so little.
You're so small.
What's that called? People Under the Stairs.
People Under the Stairs.
There you go.
It was hilarious. Yeah. Under the door.
And then the next.
The door on Haunted Hill.
The house over there. There's a house over there, it's called, or something like that. Anyway, we haven't done those yet. So there's New Nightmare, and then we did the first Freddy movie. And we've talked a lot about doing Dream Warrior and the other stuff in between. But
you know who we've seen more than just about anybody in this movie? Miko Hughes.
Who's the
screamy kid. We saw him in Pet Sematary, this one, and there was something else we saw him in, too.
Yes.
What was it?
Shoot, I had him in my list. Hold on a second.
Kid's like 35 now or something.
He is, and he's only like 5'2". He's really short. I don't know if he's 5'2" or not, but he's really short. He remained young looking and small most of his life.
Yeah, well, he's still got a good portion of it left, we hope. But does he have the same childlike face? And is he still working?
No. He's grown up now.
Okay.
He looks like he belongs in a boy band.
Is he working? Is he doing work?
Absolutely. Yeah. Okay. He's doing several things. I'm trying to see if there's anything that you might would know of. No, there's some movies. I have no idea what it's about, but he's in some stuff.
Okay. Well, good for him.
What we're not going to be seeing is another Wes Craven movie ever. He passed away a couple years ago.
Well, we might.
Oh, you know. You mean new ones.
New ones.
I'm talking about films.
Yeah. Oh, they always have a way of bringing him back.
Yeah.
I feel like you've made that joke before on FilmSack.
Might have.
I was amazed that this movie was as late as it was. Like it felt new to me. It felt newer than the others. Yeah. Like, and I, you know, I was thinking like this is he made this and then Vampire in Brooklyn and then he started making Scream movies, and the Scream films have always felt like modern to me, whereas the Freddy Krueger films feel old.
Yeah,
right.
You know
exactly.
what I mean?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And the thing is probably because Wes was only really involved with the first few. I think it was like the first one and the third one it was.
Well,
and
the
then
first one he wrote and directed. Third one he did the story treatment for, but he pretty much was hands-off for the rest of it. There was no directing. There was none of that. In fact, he kind of hated them all except for one. And then the reason he agreed to do this is he got to do it his way again, I guess.
Yeah.
And by the way, Spawn was the other thing we saw with Miko Hughes.
He was the street tough, right?
He was the kid, wasn't he? Yeah. He was like the kid.
Yeah, the kid.
The little street tough kid. Oh yeah,
the street tough kid.
Him.
I thought. Yeah. Right.
Okay.
No, he wasn't. He wasn't Spawn's child. He wasn't the Spawn of child.
No.
He wasn't the Spawn.
No, right, he was the street urchin kid.
Yeah. Right. Right.
By that point, he was about 12, 13 years old.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because that was like 97 or 8. This was 94. Yeah. So 4 years makes a huge difference in a kid.
Jim Lovell's kid in Apollo 13, and I can't believe we haven't seen Mercury Rising. Bruce Willis, it feels like it's really a film sack.
Sure. Well, yeah. So I guess he's prolific in that way, but he's also in this thing. He's a big fat trope. He's basically the kid from every horror movie, You know?
Exactly.
The yes. one that wakes up and stares Danny through Torrance. You. Yeah, and he stares through you and talks in a different voice. He's totally Danny Torrance. Oh, my God.
Oh, he's so never sleep again.
Yeah. Kind of annoyed me a little because I was like, all right, come on. You got your own ideas, Wes Craven. What are you doing over here with this?
Yeah, and the poor kid. I mean, you know, he's young. He doesn't have his acting chops yet, but really only has one scream, and it's not a very good one.
No.
Gee, I have a feeling we're going to hear that later.
Yeah, you might.
I have a feeling we will, yeah.
You very well might.
So, Scott, do you have like I did this to you last week. Do you have like an outline of this film? Can you explain the plot here? Because I'm so tired of it already.
You're already tired of it. All right, so
this plot.
So this is one that I struggle with because Brian Ibbett's intro is important here because I think that the rules of this world suck. I hate them.
Yes.
And I've always hated them and it's never worked right for me. And there's so much disconnect from, okay, well here physics matter, but here they don't. Here physics sort of mattered, but really there was nothing that really happened except, oh, the shirt's still torn. So something must have happened. But there's no blood
you
or actual wound.
Freddy.
Yeah.
I'm going to argue for it because what's happening here is a collision of real world and versus fantasy. So fantasy is starting to come true and we're getting a real physical presence. This happening, a bubbling up, if you will, from the earthquakes and everything that is happening in their lives. So I'm okay with the rules being a little bit wonky because that's the idea, right? I mean, the idea is that Freddy's Anything Goes universe is kind of slowly creeping in to reality, and that's what's supposed to be scary about
sure.
it.
Sure,
right? You guys,
sure.
He's the ultimate Bond villain, though, right? I mean, okay, his ultimate goal is to punish the parents who killed him by basically attacking their kids and making them suffer that way.
Mm-hmm. But that's the problem is
in the movie, yeah. Right. I'm sorry, we're not talking about the movie?
Wes Craven says there's a rule. Wes Craven sets up a rule and says that the Freddy that he was putting into the story was actually an ancient being that wasn't necessarily the Freddy that we saw in the story.
Okay, mean the movie within the movie. Got it, okay.
I guess I'm talking more of the movie within the movie. Right.
Have you guys seen Garbage Pail Kids?
No.
Movie?
Yes!
No.
Of course, Brian Dunaway has it. I feel like we've been waiting for like 7 or 8 years to watch Garbage Pail Kids on FilmSack, and we'll get to it eventually. But there's a question that the movie has to raise for anybody who sees it, and that question is, what are these creatures? What are Garbage Pail Kids? Like, it's really, really hard to define. And this movie triggered that for me, where I'm like, what is Freddy? Mm-hmm. Because the film purports to be set in reality, right? Mm-hmm. This is in our world where people like us are making movies. What is Freddy? Someone define Freddy in this movie.
In the end of the movie, we reveal that Freddy is a serpent-like demon. Mm. So he is supposed to be, or at least Wes Craven is implying that he's supposed to be an ancient demon. Apparently sometime during, I couldn't quite tell the time frame, but it was almost teasing that it was like post-Roman, but somewhere right around Christianity, they really didn't nail it down specifically. But yeah, he's supposed to be a demon.
Okay, so if he's
a
demon,
did you watch a director's cut or something?
No!
So if he's an ancient demon, okay, I'm going to go with this for a second. If he's an ancient demon, and I totally get it, and they did play it up to be he's an outside force. He's not the Freddy
that
was in the movies.
Like the very end when he's
when they fall into Freddy's funhouse.
Right. No. I understand that. But ahead of all of that, and by that I mean in the other movies, the idea is that Wes Craven wrote these other movies inspired by the dreams he would have about this
caused by
this
demon.
Thing, this demon. Yeah. So he made Freddy. Okay. Well, we got to have some backstories. Child molester who then gets killed by a bunch of parents, and now he's on a revenge kick in the dreams. And so that's the setup for Freddy in there. But now that we're to this place where Freddy isn't, you know, we're in the quote-unquote real world, Freddy was never an actual person who was killed in a furnace by a bunch of parents. He is instead this weird muse that Wes Craven has unleashed on everybody. And and therefore he's no longer seeking revenge for the kid deaths or for his death. He's now just a psycho demon who takes this form
Wes is trying to retcon the humorous part.
Okay, but
Freddy.
Brian,
for the first
I'm not saying it's good.
For the first 80% of new Nightmare, the demon behaves just like the fictional character Freddy.
Right.
Well, that's because he's gaining more and more power, becoming independent, because Freddy in this movie, as you fall asleep, as you edge to sleep, he can actually come out a little bit. So he's slowly bringing himself into the real world.
Right. But he also, I just think it's just the idea is like the physical, again, the rules are broken. So this, take this with the grain of salt it's intended with, but the physical manifestation that he makes as Freddy, with all the differences, by the way, this hand is a bio bone thing. It's not a real, it's not his hand in just a glove
anymore.
It's not
a glove. Yeah. Right.
His face is way different. The way his skin and muscle stuff is, it's very different than his previous incarnations. It's like, he's not burned this time. It's something else. And, so what I think this is, I think the idea is, it's like, oh, well, he has to still sort of be the essence of that, or else how's he going to reach Nancy / Heather?
Right.
You know, like still has to be this thing. It's like he's a, what's the word? It's like cosplay. It has to be a thing so people recognize it or something. Or
right.
It has no power. Right. Yeah. Otherwise, what is he? A red devil running around, I guess. I don't know.
Right. Yeah. He needs a manifestation.
All that being said, it's dumb. I mean, it's dumb.
Yeah. But now I really want to see the movie that Brian Dunaway saw.
Yeah. You know what? Ibbot, there must be a final cut. That's actually good.
I watched it on Netflix. So I do these animated GIFs, and maybe I watch it a little bit slower. Maybe that's the difference, because I, near the end, I'm going back through and I'm going through the video and I'm looking and I notice, I'm like, oh, okay. So they're slicing Freddy's tongue in the middle. So he's got a forked tongue now. We juxtapose that to a snake that was also in the fire pit. And I'm like, okay. And then the final scene of the squeezy demon head.
Yeah.
So I'm like, okay. So that I kind of went back to my mind through the story and kind of placed those pieces.
You know, those devil demons afraid of fire the way they are.
That was weird. And it got so hot.
He just
and he exploded. He like, it was like you, right. It was little stress squeezy balls.
Yeah. No, they were like, it was like Total Recall is what it reminded me of.
Right.
There.
Right. Yeah. Yes. The bulgy guys. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's weird because, I mean, I think the movie's enjoyable, like on a level of enjoyment. Like, there's some fun there to be had. Mm-hmm. Sure. I'm surprised that the whole movie within a movie kind of concept kind of sort of works in a 1994 kind of way. I don't like the rules, though. The rule set breaks it every time, and it's true of Freddy movies.
Yeah, I want to finish my thought about why he's like the Bond villain. Okay,
go ahead.
So
yeah.
Really quickly to recap, he's the original Freddy, angry at the parents, and so goes after the kids. But what he does is he tries to attack the kids in the most elaborate means possible so that they have every single possible way to escape and thwart his plans. Instead of just saying, oh, you know how I can, you know, really irritate the parents? I'll just kill their kids. Bip, bop, boom, done.
Stab, 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 done, out. See, don't have to monologue. Don't have to walk around.
But the demon, the manifestation of
whatever Brad said, demon, blah, blah, blah.
Exactly. Probably has other ideas.
Right.
But still, like, dangling Heather Langenkamp's kid over traffic.
Yeah.
That to me, it was kind of, I don't know if Wes was trying to say all these things, but the things I was getting from it was a new nightmare. And the story is always really, in Wes's mind, always revolved around Nancy. So he's kind of going, forget the rest of the crap. Nancy and Wes is where it's all at. And this is where Freddy has his power. And this is how this demon has manifested himself. However, Nancy's no longer has nightmares about kid things like she did back in the day, which was, you know, more sexual of nature. Now she's having more nightmares like an adult has when you have kids and their kids are being attacked and she has to protect her kid and all these natural disasters are happening around her. It's a newer nightmare. So I don't know if that's what he was kind of going for, but I could have almost at that point said, well, then just get rid of the Freddy stuff entirely because that's not playing well.
Which he does when he starts making Scream movies.
Right.
And so you kind of feel like this is a transition, which I guess is intellectually interesting, right?
Yeah,
like that he's examining the idea of scripting something and what brings you know, out of your mind onto the page an idea. It's just, this is, I'm supposed to be watching a horror film, and it's set in sunny summer in Los Angeles, and I'm like, well, you know, and I hate to keep bringing up Blade Runner, but you know, this amazing new movie opened a couple weeks ago, and a year and a half ago we watched Blade Runner on FilmSack, and it was the theatrical release, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so then, you know, you guys were like telling me over and over, you've got to watch the final cut to enjoy the movie. And I'm like, okay, I will someday. And so then I tried to, but I waited too long. I waited too long to watch the final cut. And then I got into it. And I'm like, this is just exactly like what I remember is the theatrical release. So I didn't finish it. And the new one, the Blade Runner 2049, is amazing. It's mm-hmm. a fantastic film. It's one of the best films of all time. Mm-hmm. And I come away, though, going, man, look at the setting and the mood. That's really where this film shines. Like, it has this setting, like Mad Max Fury Road, that's not like your reality. Mm-hmm. It's very, mm-hmm. you know, it's very particular, and it drives a particular emotion out of you, the setting. And then we go watch New Nightmare, and I'm just like, oh, look, that's where I live.
Yeah.
Right. That's LA.
But isn't that the idea?
The idea is that, yes, the idea is that it disrupts your reality, that he creates this new torn reality, in many cases, literally, like the house with
the
convenient.
But that's not scary.
It's not. I agree. I've never been scared by Freddy movies, not once.
You always have to have some loose connection to your world, right? So what it is in 2049 is the connection is that feeling of, you know, wanting to be something else, wanting to be human for them. But, you know, for us, for humans, it's wanting to be something more. That's our loose connection to 2049. For New Nightmare, the world is our connection, and then the fantasy aspects are what's kind of layered on top of it. There's for something to be scary, or something to be compelling and interesting, you can't just have it all be blah, 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 out there, like Legend, I think is a good example of that.
Yeah.
You watch a movie like Legend, it's like, oh, who cares?
Yeah.
Right? It's, you know.
Right, right.
Yeah. But you have to have some sort of tendrils connecting to
what,
either
like
your,
what's the right. human yeah the human connection he- like even Heather, Fury Road is about is about our... people being horribly mistreated in the this particular case the wives of Morton Joe are horribly mistreated, they're abused and enslaved and all this, and right. that's the connection right. we make that connection and go, yeah, I'd fight for that too. So now that world's even more rich because not only is it visually interesting, not only is it contextually interesting and historically interesting, it's also interesting because I totally get that I should be pissed about oppression.
You would feel the same way and you would do the same thing.
Yeah, or you know, what any good movie, that's what they do well. This movie is a disconnect for me because, and everyone thinks is one of the great Freddy movies, I'm about to tell you the opposite, because while I think it's well made and there's some fun to be had, like, I can't relate to any of these people. When her husband died, no one gave a shit. They just right. did not
okay,
care,
so
dude.
I was actually mad at that moment.
I was
when he
too.
Died.
I was annoyed.
I'm just like, where is he working that he has to drive all night to get home?
Yeah.
Let's take a temperature of the room real quick, because I sure. want to know, because you're right. A lot of fans like this one a lot, mm-hmm. and I am a fan of the series. Yes. I have watched all of the movies, and I it's just like other movies like Alien and Predator. I'll turn those movies on throughout the year. Nightmare on Elm Street is the same for me. I'll just turn a couple of them on, watch them through. So I'm really deep into the Nightmare on Elm Street series. How are you guys? Are you kind of like, I like the first one? But
I like the series. And what's funny is I thought I'd seen them all as well until I saw right. this one. I'm like, oh, I totally haven't seen this one. And I don't know why I hadn't seen this one, because yeah. the whole fourth wall thing totally threw me for a loop. I wasn't expecting it. And I do like that aspect of it. I do like the... you know, the what mentally happened to Jamie Lee Curtis after she did Halloween, right? Like, right. did she have a hard time sleeping after doing those movies, or was the fact that it was a soundstage and there were grips and
no, it was 18 true lies,
guys
with trouble sleeping?
Take off your clothes and rub against the banister.
Yeah, no, it's a good. I mean, the yeah. concept is interesting. I just don't know that it holds up.
Little,
and yeah. it's not that it's not badly done. I don't know if it can ever be rightly done. Like, it's hard. Here's what I would suggest, and this is going to hopefully blow everybody's mind because I have the perfect solution. New Nightmare should have been, now this probably wasn't Wes Craven's you know, first thought, because why would he want to do this? It's not the kind of movie he makes. But it should have been a found footage movie if you want me to suspend my disbelief about is this real life or whatever. Because there's like a line in the trivia. This is the worst, you guys. I got to read this. This is so bad. It says, the film, let's see. Oh, yeah, the film has no opening titles to blur the illusion of whether this is a film, a documentary, or something altogether different. That never once entered my mind because, duh. So make it more documentary.
Am I watching a reality show?
Right.
Yeah, I thought I was watching a television program.
Yeah.
I really did. Like, that's how blurred those lines were.
Yeah, do this.
I didn't even know it was a movie.
Do this like Blair Witch or VHS 1 and 2. Like, give me a... that would have been interesting.
How do you do dream sequences with found footage?
Oh, yeah.
Like, I can understand the outside stuff, the walking around like, oh, my God, there's a guy over there who's working on a Freddy Krueger hand, and it's attacking him. Ah! How do you do, like, the...
And also, to the degree that this film has any heart, and it actually does. It's got a little bit of you know, like character building and this kind of thing. It really pays off at the very end when she has the script and she's reading like literally the words that her child is about to say to her and this kind of thing.
Yeah.
And that kind of thing works. It's just they go to hell and it's so bad. You know, like
hell is Freddy broken Roman structures.
Like it's how you get from point A to point B that really matters in a movie like this, and
apparently a swimming pool that you can land in and not be damaged,
right?
But you can stand up in afterwards.
Like, yeah. You know, fall damage doesn't count in this movie. I noticed.
Certainly not. Yeah,
a child is depicted as jumping from a height of like 30 feet,
yeah.
And mom catches him. No problem.
They're both fine.
They're all major. They're all World of Warcraft mages. They get that feather fall thing or whatever.
Slow fall.
But they, like that kind of the rules and how they don't connect are really a problem for me, and it's really hard for me to get over. So what I have, to answer Dunaway's original question, I love the series. I think he's an iconic character, and I always have a good time. But I don't ever get scared ever. It's not scary to me. It's just weird. You know, and dumb and disjointed and strange, but I still like it. You know,
It doesn't scare me as I've gotten older. But when I was young, the idea, the short line that he pitched this movie with is what would have probably got me. It's like, oh my goodness, you can really die in your dream. Just hearing that as a kid was like monumental. I mean, when the first time I heard somebody say, oh yeah, if you hit the ground when you're dreaming, when you're falling, you're dead. It's like, it's like, oh my gosh, now I'm afraid to sleep.
Yeah.
And so, but yeah, now that I'm older, it's like, that's not scary.
Where, you know, like Pinhead actually scares me. Speaking of the
other. Pinhead doesn't scare me. It makes me feel uncomfortable.
Well, it's a different kind of scare. Like it's a.
Yeah, I feel like icky. I could just push my hand into his face and cause him serious injury. Like that would be my. That's how I defeat Pinhead. Is a flat palm slap to the forehead and done.
Just show up with a hammer.
Yeah.
How you doing?
Pinhead shows up on the verge of being wounded, and all you have to do is just.
Just bring a hammer and you go, oh shit, I'm going back. Sorry.
Your hammer looks like a cat paw for some reason. I'm fascinated by something Dunaway said a couple minutes ago, which is that there are people who do and don't rewatch, like, I'm going to just call them October movies, because that's a genre, like who rewatch, I don't know, Friday the 13th or whatever. And there's people who clearly don't. I'm one of them. I can count on one hand the number of times that I've rewatched an October movie outside of like October. Seriously, I just do not do this ever.
It's like July, we're not singing Christmas songs, forget you. No.
This is maybe the fourth time I've seen a Freddy Krueger film, and three of them were for FilmSec. So I'm fascinated by that because, like, what compels you? Because they're objectively bad, right? We all agree these aren't. There are very, very few great October movies, right?
Well,
now if you're asking me why I watch these, I consider most modern horror from the 80s on to be our new form of fairy tales. And I've always loved fairy tales. I read the old stuff. But this, to me, I guess it really started during the 70s for me and on. Most horror movies that stuff like Saw, I don't get in that kind of stuff, but stuff like, you know, Nightmare on Elm Street, aliens, all that stuff almost seems kind of fairy tale-ish in a way.
A big monster and innocent people trying to solve the deal. Yeah, I think I can see that. I totally see that. I mean,
well, it's not teenagers and morality tales.
Sure. It's definitely, you're a creative person. You're a comic artist, among other things that you create. And so it makes sense that you're interested in the concept of October movies, because they're so different than everything else. Like, there's no wonder why we have Inktober and Drawloween, right? Like, you don't have this in April, because October brings about this time of year when everything changes and people have all of this mythos around, you know, scary stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it makes total sense that you're interested in it, you know. And so I don't want to take that away from you. I'm blown away by the idea of, you know, it's Easter. And you're putting on Friday the 13th, Part 3.
You guys going to hunt for Easter eggs? I'll be here watching Halloween.
Yeah, no kidding.
You guys have fun.
All right, wait. This brings up a question. What do we all have a movie that we've seen on FilmSack that we feel like actually scared us a little bit? And I'm sure there's one. I'm trying to rack my head.
For me, it's absolutely Angel Heart. That's a movie that still kind of gets to me. And it's not the shotgun in the hoo-ha, Scott.
It's not? Okay. All right.
But it's actually the psychological aspect of it, of feeling like you don't know who you are and you don't know this dark side that you have that you don't remember, and discovering that you've committed all these horrible acts. Mm. That for me is like way scarier than, you know, some dude with organic claws and a fedora and a bad dream.
So
he's got all the new like facial scarring. He's got the new bio, you know, the hand with the claws instead of it being a glove. Why does he still have the red and green sweater?
I don't know.
He tried to get rid of it. I think there's probably a little bit of arguing going on there, because Wes Craven did try to introduce his more edgy. With the trench coat and stuff.
Yeah, it was supposed to be more menacing and less jokey, and you know, right. Like, there was all attempts.
And by the way, you can explain anything through this simple calculus. Wes Craven wrote New Nightmare. Wes Craven wrote the original Nightmare on Elm Street. What you're watching is inspired by Freddy coming into Wes Craven's dreams at night. Therefore, anything you see is inspired by Freddy, the actual Freddy.
Yeah.
And that's it. Like, you now have an explanation for anything. Doesn't matter what you're questioning. It was inspired by the demon speaking to Wes Craven at night.
So any bad movie,
you can actually just, sorry, it wasn't me. I didn't make Ishtar.
It was Freddy.
Ishtar demon made me make that movie.
Yeah.
By the way, my answer to your question is Poltergeist. Not Poltergeist. Exorcist. We watched The Exorcist.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's a good one.
Wait,
yeah.
Did we watch The Exorcist? We haven't seen The Exorcist.
We haven't watched The Exorcist.
No,
have
we have
we?
Not.
We did.
No, we did. Haven't. No, we haven't.
I'm sure we did.
I don't think so because it's come up before, and I'm with you. I've told this story before on the show. As a 5-year-old, my mom took me to the drive-in, and she thought I was sleeping in the back seat, and I was watching The Exorcist, and I kept, you know, catching glimpses of it, and I don't.
Yeah, we've never done it.
For some reason, thought we saw a sequel to The Exorcist, but we haven't even seen that.
Nope.
Mm. How the hell?
I don't know. It's one of those. It's one of those.
Mandela effect.
Yeah. Because I remember watching it, and I remember we went on and on about how happy we were that it was an actual drama and less of a horror movie. Because the priest in The Exorcist, it's about him. It's about his struggle with his faith and so on.
Really?
We didn't watch The Exorcist?
We really haven't seen it.
You might be thinking of, it's so possible you're thinking of
The Omen.
The Omen. The Omen's so similar.
Yeah, The Omen is basically Exorcist boy edition. I mean, it's just so that kid
was,
edition.
That was FilmSack 46. Episode 46 was The Omen, and I don't remember it that well.
Yeah, that must have been it.
Maybe it's so similar to Exorcist.
It's like, you know, and we will get to it, obviously, eventually. I think The Exorcist will happen. But I'm going to agree that that's, of all the horror movies I've ever seen, that one still leaves a big, fat scar on me. But I can't think of anything on FilmSack that really scared me, like really scared me. And I'm sure I'm forgetting something, and someone's going to write in and go, dude, you forgot you said this about whatever.
Right.
It's entirely possible that I'm forgetting something, but I can't think of anything where I was super scared. And I don't, maybe that's just a, I mean, I saw a movie recently, The Witch. I thought that was scary as hell. I didn't like that thing at all.
Nope.
I mean, it was good. It was really well made, which is part of the problem. It was extremely good for a horror
now,
movie
that
it terrified
is that
me.
Is that the witch or the vitch?
The witch.
The vitch.
The papa bit vitch.
I guess just vitch because it's two V's.
Yeah, the vitch. Vavoom. The vavoom vitch.
You know what a problem with it all is that we're old now because if I had seen The Shining when I was a teenager, that would have scared the hell out of me.
Oh, you know what? Shining got me. Sorry. Yeah, that still gets me. Sorry. Go ahead. I didn't mean to interrupt, but
yeah,
that's the one.
I don't know if it still gets me or not. That's a good question.
It still gets me.
With the pig head fellatio. It's totally the scene.
Oh, that'll get you every time. It's always scary.
Good suit man fellatio.
Yeah.
Just close your eyes and pretend it's a human.
I think once you have kids, your fear of almost everything except for keeping your child alive is pretty much takes backseat.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, that's scary, but what if my kid got sick?
Yes, but this movie was so unrealistic with the relationships that it was hard for me. Like the husband died. Oh, all right, well, moving on with their life. Like there was nothing.
I know you don't still live in the same. Who does? I guess people do, but I've always thought of myself as if my spouse died, I'd be like, I don't want to live here. I can't live here with all this stuff around me.
I couldn't
that's
do
kind of stuff
anything. I would be a piece of quivering shit. Like I'd be the worst ever, and to have them do, like, even just the experience of going to the. Do you just go through the back door of the morgue there and?
Yeah,
walk right in.
All these
bodies,
and they're all torn to pieces.
People are moaning and screaming in there. I'm like, what is this place?
Yeah, that was some horse shit.
This one guy's over there eating Cheetos or Funyuns or something.
Yeah, I didn't buy that at all. I mean, that's that kind of stuff just rings untrue. The thing at the funeral, like none of that. It just didn't feel like real relationships, and because of that, I never worried about the kid that much. It was like no big deal.
I'm gonna take Randy's. Plead the West and go, well, it's not supposed to feel real because,
right,
you know, the dream world is encroaching upon the real world and it's supposed to feel surreal because there's things that aren't really happening.
Yeah, but the best surreal movies ever made, I can't think of any off the top of my head, but good surreal films where there's a sense of unreality is always anchored by somebody who's the protagonist or antagonist or somebody we can hook our chain to and
like
go, oh, I feel like
Guillermo,
they do.
Guillermo del Toro's Pan's Labyrinth, surreal film. But
yeah, very good example. And that one, you are rooted in these people because you care about them. Their real world things lock you in so that when you're seeing a guy with eyeballs on his hands, you're rooting for her. And you're not,
right,
because she's real to you. And in this movie, no one seemed real, including the dream part. Like, that's not enough. You got to have some anchor for me to have empathy. It's the whole reason we tell stories, but there's no other reason to tell them otherwise.
Well, and as scary movies go, when you are on that like dividing line between reality and surreal, there's some really good stuff. Like the best scary movie of all time came out this year. It's called Get Out.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've heard that's great. I still haven't seen it.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if I got caught off.
I unplugged myself.
But is that all I had to say about it?
Yeah.
That's it. Get out. Bye.
Get out. And that's like a great example of reality based, right? And it takes you right up to that dividing line where you're like, is there supernatural in here? And they never actually let you know. Like you never find out whether there's something supernatural going on or not, which is perfect. It's perfect.
Yeah.
A movie like New Nightmare could have benefited from being like that. You know?
I agree.
But this was 1994. So I mean, okay, so let's look at the tools that Wes Craven had to work with, because a lot of movies mentioned have been post that. And this was 1994. I related well to Heather Langenkamp. I think she has some of the best facial emotions. She's a really good actor in that aspect.
Yeah,
she's great.
I mean,
what?
I believe what she's doing.
I like
her
fine.
Face.
I like her fine. I don't think she.
I think that you know, you finally give Heather Langenkamp the role that she was born to play, which is herself, and she still can't do it.
She still always
has this expression like she's smelling something bad in the room.
Yeah, but of all of the scream queens of her era, she's up there as far as all of them go. It's a low standard, but yeah.
It Smells Like Something's Burning in the Oven is the title of her picture on IMDb. If you go look at her picture on IMDb, she's like, oh, there's, I smell something. Are you taking my picture right now? Because I smell something burning.
Yeah. Hey, that's exactly
here's a clue. Here's a hot tip for you. Guess who is in the new Hellraiser Judgment video?
She's in there.
Yeah, she's the landlady.
Yeah, she plays the landlady in the new Hellraiser. Yeah. When we say new, like way new, like
it's 2017.
Yeah, this year, yeah. The weird little short thing or whatever they're doing. I don't know what it is. They're rebooting that damn thing, so maybe it's part of that. But she was also, remember, we talked about this last time. She was in Star Wars.
Into Darkness.
Star Trek Into Darkness.
Yeah.
And she played some alien head thing. Unrecognizable. I mean, you'd look at it and go, oh, that's not, who the hell's that?
Right. So in a major motion picture like Star Trek Into Darkness 4 years ago, she wasn't in the top 25 billed actors.
Right.
Mm-hmm. That's where she is.
That's where she's at. And that's fine. That's a cool, nerdy thing to do. She seems friendly and nice and kind and all that. I did a little deep dive on where she at now, what's she doing. But to say she's a great actress would be a lie. To say that she's a good scream queen slasher movie actress, it's probably just fine. I don't think she's up there. They're all bad, is what I'm getting at.
I don't say they're bad. There's a certain skill level I used. Okay, look, Miko was screaming his head off, and I wasn't buying it. So there is a skill to being believable.
Well, sure, being over the age of 4 helps, but yes, I agree. Right. I agree with you.
He was older than 4 here, right?
I don't know what he was here.
Yeah, I would say 6. Okay. I'm just guessing. I haven't looked him up. Yeah, I would say he was 6. About 6.
Yeah. And I mean, she's fine. She's fine. I mean, literally, it's the definition of fine. She'll fit the role. She'll do it. She's in an iconic movie, first film. There's no reason why she shouldn't be in more of them. Like, that's her deal. That's her job. And she did what she was supposed to do there. And she was, you know.
Oh, fine. And I take it back. Playing Heather Langenkamp was the second role that she was born to play. She played played another role in 1994, same time as New Nightmare, that was the actual role that she was born to play, which is Nancy Kerrigan.
Oh, very nice.
Oh,
sure. Right. I forgot about that.
Yeah.
Did her babysitter play the other?
Oh, that'd be great.
Harding? Yeah, Tonya Harding.
Oh, no, she's way prettier than Tonya Harding.
I don't know who that
Fiddle is. Fiddle Ditch or whatever her name is.
I don't remember her name.
I recall that as being one of those rush to TV
yes, it
films
totally was. Yes.
Where it's like, they already have a movie? Like, it was like 2 months after the controversy.
I love that my point was that she's blonde and could play Tonya Harding. I love that Ibbets was... Tonya Harding's ugly and that other actress is good looking. I like that.
Okay,
I like that. No, it's fine. There's an honesty to it.
If you don't know which one is the evil one and you just show someone a picture of Tonya Harding and Nancy Kerrigan, I'll bet you different people think...
It'd be hard, yeah.
Think different ones are the pretty one.
I thought you meant the evil one.
Well, that or that,
one of these
or
the evil one.
I'm just saying, like, when you just look at them and you don't have any idea what they've done, you know?
Yeah.
I'll bet you it's got something to do with, you know, what you're familiar with. Because she doesn't look evil. Like, she did something horrible, but she doesn't look evil.
They're still around. They've got things going on.
And she hired somebody to do something evil, right? Or bribed.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Jeff Galooly.
Yeah. Yeah. There's
well,
the real
great
evil
name.
In your world.
Yeah, looking at these current photos of Nancy Kerrigan, she is cool looking in her middle age.
Really?
Yeah. Not so much Tonya Harding, but Nancy Kerrigan's just kind of cool looking.
Oh, yeah.
You know, she looks like somebody I'd want to walk up to and go, excuse me, do you have the time? Yes, it's 4:00. Like, there's something about her.
thank you.
Yeah.
That's not creepy at all.
Yeah. Not at all. Not weird at all. So Robert Englund gets the most screen time he's ever had in his life as not Freddy in this. That's fine. To me, it's unfortunate that dude got completely typecast, really, as Freddy, despite the fact that it's mostly makeup that makes him Freddy, and he's kind of a nerd, you know, whelpish-looking dude outside of the makeup. But it bummed me out, because actually, if you just put the acting up on the wall from the entire movie here, I think you got to give it to that dude for his pretty subtle performance when he was playing himself. I thought he was great. He was the only thing in here where I thought he was good.
I don't think he was typecast or nothing. I mean, it's not like when people see you, all they can think of is Freddy. I don't think that. I think he was.
Who do you think of when you see him?
Do you think of the character from V?
Yeah,
I think of the character from V.
No, you
right
don't.
Away.
You immediately exactly think he could have been a great
big
Star
blue blocker glasses.
He could have been a good Star Trek character. He could have been a million things. I don't know why
wasn't. How come he was never tapped to play any sort of alien in any Star Trek thing? I'm amazed
by that. He could have been the traveler.
Look at his career. Now, was he a leading man? No, but oh my gosh, look at his IMDb database. It's like full of Simon and Simon. Come on, what do you want? I'll tell you
what I love about it is you could tell that someone sat down, like a group of people sat down and said, all right, what is the weirdest thing that Robert Englund, the actual guy, could look like, could be doing? Like, How can we make fun of him as an actor? And like, we're going to put him in a turtleneck with round glasses and he's going to be painting, you know, like it was very fun. And I appreciate that a lot.
He's doing some cool cartoon stuff. He's on a regular show as Anti-Pops, Mystery Man, and Stag Man. Those are all characters I like a lot.
He always plays a bad guy.
Yeah.
And he's, lots of other, like the Riddler, the Vulture, as far as DC and Marvel villain, animated villain voices and stuff.
Sure. A bunch of those. Here's a good
Dormammu.
One. In a movie called Zombie Mutation, he played Dream Man. Gee, I wonder.
Dream Man.
Yeah. Gosh, I can't imagine what that's a tie to there.
No, it's like every girl's Dream Man is basically who he's playing.
Right. Yeah, Dream
Man. Here's something I didn't know existed. Lake Placid. That's right. Lake Placid, the final chapter, the TV movie. I didn't know that was a thing.
No.
There was even a Lake Placid versus Anaconda TV movie in 2015.
Shut up. What? Really?
Yes.
Okay, that's kind of great.
He's in it.
is that sci-fi TV movie?
That's pretty
great.
It has
to be. Come on. Is there any chance?
That's pretty good.
It's called, the subtitle is Crocs on the Dock, Snakes on
Crocs
the Lake.
Crocs on the Dock.
He was in a TNA film a few years ago called Zombie Strippers.
Whoa! All right.
Was he the T or the A?
He was the Dream Man.
It was the D. He was the Dream Man. Yeah, he was the Dream Man.
Seriously, Zombie Strippers 2008.
That's great.
Jenna Jameson and Robert Englund.
Jenna Jameson. There's a word I haven't heard since I was in high school.
A word. I like that Jenna Jameson is a word. That's great. It says here in this film, Freddy was depicted more closely to what Wes Craven had originally intended for the character. So this new menacing muscle face, less comic stuff, updated clothes, all that, the hand. This is what he always wanted. I'm torn on this.
This is what I always wanted.
I'm torn on this because there's something really iconic about the leather and the knives and the sweater and the hat. And the minute you start getting away from that, you start to get into that territory of Jason X, like in space. It's
right.
Now, when is it just, go ahead.
You hate to defect from the creator of a character, but sometimes it happens. And in this case, it was good that somebody else had a turn to make Freddy what he became.
Mm-hmm.
Because if they had always supported Wes Craven and we had always gotten what Wes Craven wanted, it wouldn't be what we like.
It is interesting that he did all of these he did all of the Scream movies. Every one of them he wrote and directed, but he only did two of these, and the second one was like the special deal where it was like, I'll only come back if you let me do this weird idea. Like, why? I wonder what that was, because his most iconic character by far is Freddy Krueger.
I feel like by the time we get to New Nightmare, Wes Craven is in love with making movies. Mm-hmm. Like, you can really see in this film that he just wants to make movies. Like, every freaking producer in this film got a speaking role in this film.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, like, I mean, seriously, like, they're walking to the offices. I'm like, oh, look, the receptionist got a speaking role in this movie. How, you know, like he just clearly, he's all about the business and the behind the camera stuff.
Yeah, I assume that executive, what's her name, met with was probably an actual producer.
Robert,
right?
Shea. Robert Shea.
Yeah, I don't know him. But, okay.
Well, and the producer that she meets with right
Sarah
after the
Richard.
TV appearance. Right. And she the trivia is that she even bought a new suit. She was nervous about that performance and even bought a new suit.
Yep.
Don't those always play off a lot better than when we watch like sports movies and they have some real sports star play an acting
part? Oh, I hate that so bad. I mean, it works in NBA. Titles. I'll tell you what, NBA Jam, or not NBA Jam, NBA, no, what was it called? Space Jam, sorry. The
Space Jam.
Space Jam, that actually works. They get that to work with the sports guys. Right. Like, even the dumbest of them, Utah's own, what's his name? Tall kid. I can't think of his name.
Utah's own tall dummy kid.
I can't think of his name. I played for the Cavs. He's the center. He was like 7'4". I can't think of his name. Anyway, he's a terrible actor. He shouldn't go anywhere near a camera except for when he's on the court. But that movie somehow knew what to do there, and that's so it can be done. I'm totally with you here. The only thing I kept thinking about, I know this is because of modern or because of, you know, ripped from today's headlines, but all I could think about is, is that guy dirty? Is he going to ask her to go to his hotel room? Is a lady out front just smiling, but really inside she's dying because she works for the worst man ever? Like,
I know. So especially the limo driver.
Yeah.
Like, you can't somebody being leery and skeevy like that. Nothing. This day and age, nothing. Weinstein.
Yeah. Harvey. Weinstein. Where's freaking Harvey?
Is what exactly. I was
thinking to myself.
Oh, you're the limo. Look at you. I'll drive you anywhere.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Almost wrote my opening with the limo guy in mind because he was such a, not only was he a creep, he was super lazy. He was calling from the fairly new cell phone from his car. He kept calling her on the phone. I'm like, just go to the door.
Yeah, get to the door. You slacking.
The police go to the door. And they make her play 20 questions to find out what actually happened to her husband.
Is he dead? Yes.
No. Is he injured? No. No, he's worse than that. Did he die?
Getting warmer.
Ding, 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 ding. You get a star. Puts it on your forehead.
Because something happened? Yes, we are.
Right.
Is it blue?
No. Is it bad? Yes. Okay, go to Kitty Carlisle. All right, is it...
And speaking of the husband, by the way...
Ask your grandparents about that
one. Yeah, no kidding. I was going to say, right over a whole generation's head. The death of Heather's husband largely came about, according to the trivia, due to concerns that Freddie was simply not killing enough people in the script. So,
I thought it was further proof that this movie even puts Chase to sleep.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah. Chase, his character was pretty disposable. I mean... Come on.
Yeah. That's the husband, Chase? Is that the name?
Yeah.
I forgot his name.
He can't even stay awake through the stand.
I keep wanting to call him Dylan for some reason, but he was weird. There's something about that guy's voice that was weird.
I love the fact that he was singing what song is he singing? Was he singing an R.E.M. song? What was he singing?
Yes, Losing My Religion.
So he was
to
he kept
to
singing
stay
that.
Awake?
Yeah, but the Foley people, the people who did the effects and the sounds had him driving off from Heather's house with like some kind of generic rock music, and then he was driving home with some kind of generic rock music. But I don't know if they couldn't get the rights or what. But
maybe you can get away with that because he got as far as the first religion, losing my religion,
losing
and then stop.
My crotch shot.
Yep.
Ridiculously bad CGI on the seat.
Oh yeah, the ripple.
I think so. I kind of liked it.
I hated it.
You didn't see claw marks. Like you didn't. There wasn't leaving a trail going through the seat. It's like a shark fin going through water. I kind of liked
it. Exactly.
That.
I hated it.
That was cheap and lame. It looked like one of those effects we saw in like. What was that Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle TV show we watched?
I thought you're going to compare it to the Roger Rabbit claws.
Origins. Oh my gosh. Yeah. What a nightmare that was. That was so bad.
A new nightmare.
This thing just had too many. I wrote this down multiple times, so this must be my chief problem with these movies. Not just this one, but all these Freddy movies. The dream within a dream stuff pisses me off. I can't stand that because you're just yanking us around. Like, which
and
of these realities
easy,
is happening?
You can paint your character into the worst possible corner that they can't get out of. And it's just a dream. Okay.
Yeah. It's like, kid barfed up black cheese soup all over me. Now,
that was bad.
Yeah. In comes Carmen Sandiego.
Is that color? I want to know what it was disgusting. What are they feeding that kid?
I don't know. It was really bad.
Squid ink jello is on the menu.
You know, usually I agree with you. I don't like the fake out. However, since rules generally apply towards death, if you die in a Freddy dream, you still die. I'm kind of okay with them going layers deep in a dream.
Why is he eligible? Explain this to me. The kid's in there sitting there talking to Blondie lady, and he says, "Look behind you," and she looks behind and there's nothing there. Why can he see him and she can't?
Because he's falling asleep, right?
Is he?
Yeah, he's in sleeping pill.
He's been giving he was just given a shot by Nurse Evil.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, that was the best scene. That was so
Can we have a trope alert on that, by the way?
She sucked. Hated her.
What? it's one of the, like it the Nurse Evil trope has always has this thing where you're screaming at the screen, why is she doing this?
Yeah.
She doesn't have any motivation to do this.
No, I thought she was mm-hmm. going to be Freddy or something dumb like that. Like that mm-hmm. that's where it was heading to me. I'm like, "Oh, well, you're this forceful and horrible. You're suddenly your face is going to morph into Freddy's and he's going to go, "Hello," and that'll be it.
Every hospital apparently has a Nurse Ratchet.
Right.
Yeah, hey, look, if you're the nurses, all you do is you tell the babysitter to get out. You don't have to fool her. It's like, look over here. Look at me. I'm doing the needle thing. And then stab the kid on the other side. I'm like, you don't need to do all that. You're the nurse.
And then she made a face. Tell them to leave. Like, man, look what I did. I stabbed a kid in the arm while you were looking.
And actually, that was that's Wes Craven's daughter.
Oh, it is?
How was it?
Yes.
Oh, well, she was smirky as shit.
So back to we had the trope alert. Oh yeah, I was gonna say thing that grossed Scott out the most.
Yeah.
Could it be anything that involves Freddy's tongue?
Incorrect, because it's so fake. That tongue is fake. So
yeah, okay. Coming out of the phone, that doesn't do anything.
Doesn't do anything for me either. Wrapping it around the head's like, I mean, it looked better than the old 84 tongue they made, but it's
right.
It wasn't. That's
yeah,
not gross.
Because tongue's like 94.
I laughed my head off during
the
tongue
scene. The black pea soup is too obvious a thing, though.
Yeah, and that one's also too fake because of the way the kid was aiming and it was coming out of his mouth kind of at a weird angle and it didn't look right. For me, it was a simple one and a one that probably people will miss. Any other guesses? Because I definitely had one and I hate it.
I think it has to be the eating in the morgue because that bread disappears and I don't know where it goes, but it. it was disturbing.
Incorrect. I agree. Disturbing, but also not the one. The one that got me. Any other guesses? This is going to probably not be gotten by anybody. But it really bugged me.
Got nothing.
To this moment, it grossed me out. All right. So the kid is constantly being handed sleeping pills, right?
Yes.
And he'll take them out and put them under the mattress or whatever.
Right, these like sucked on sleeping pills under the pillow. She's putting them in her mouth,
and she ate them, and she was thrilled. She even said yes because she found another half sucked on pill and ate that one.
I'm glad they were sucked on because have you ever tried to swallow a gel type tab with no water?
I know.
Oh yeah, no.
It's rough. They stick.
Horrible idea.
Yeah, they stick. They're terrible. But that's gross. Don't be taking anybody's secondhand medication ever. Ugh. Oh my gosh. Right.
And how many does she need? Because I mean, I thought one would have been enough, but she kept gobbling them up every go. Oh, there's another one.
Yeah, she was like going on it. Well,
Tic Tac.
She really wanted to be tired, I guess.
It was James Woods and Family Guy going after the Reese's Pieces.
That's right. Wait, was James Woods and Family Guy?
Oh, yes. And he's got a high school named after him, right?
Is he?
Yeah, James Woods High.
Is he?
And when they tried to catch him, they would put a trail of Reese's Pieces through the hallway, and he would go, "Oh, Reese's Pieces! Reese's Pieces!"
Was he the the real voice of himself?
Yeah,
I think so. Yeah, he's the Sideshow Bob of Family Guy.
Will he be now that he's like everyone hates him and he tried to pick up 16-year-old girls in his 50s? Will he be doing that?
So is stuff coming out about him now?
Oh yeah.
You think?
Oh yeah.
Think
already.
Family Guy has a problem with controversy.
I think that they might. I think they might.
They would stay away from
I mean, people are literally taking Harvey Weinstein out of credits of existing things. Like, yes.
Mm-hmm. Although we haven't heard a lot from one of the reasons Weinstein had so much success in the 90s. I haven't heard a thing out of what's his name, Tarantino. I want to hear what he has to say because his big hits were, you know, Weinstein produced Pulp Fiction and produced other stuff of his, and maybe even things all the way up till now. And I'm curious if he has anything to say, or if he was maybe his foot fetish provider.
You know, out of everybody that
hey, Tarantino, I got some more feet for you. Gonna send something over your way.
That's right. The great.
That's
Harvey
what I
Weinstein.
Assume Harvey Weinstein's voice.
Yeah,
is
he
like.
Sounds just like that, like a big hut. He's like a hut. Now,
I could be totally wrong, but Tarantino seems like to me, even though he may be a freak, I don't think he would cross the line.
Oh, I don't. I don't mean.
Doesn't seem like the kind of guy that would cross the line with ladies.
No. I don't think that either. I'm not even suggesting that. I want to just know if he has anything to say. And I know we're in the time of everyone has something to say about
it. What can he really say? It's like, oh, I don't like it. No, sir, I did not like it one bit. And
I want him to
but I made some money.
I want him to say something like, Weinstein. Was in the scene with the ball, the gag ball, and there's something weird, you know.
Bring out the gimp or something.
I want something weird like that, but it's not gonna happen.
Can I throw out a chick in the bucket?
Yes, please. Hold on. Let me give you this.
Oh, I got one.
All right. What do you got?
Who was the stalker? I thought it, I thought at some point question. I thought at some point there was going to be some big reveal that Wes Craven was the stalker, or that Robert Englund was the stalker.
Well, I thought it was babysitter. I thought it was just Freddy.
Yeah, it was Freddy, apparently.
Again, breaking
so Freddy has Freddy, another limitation of Freddy is he has to rely on the postal service.
Yes, and the phone. Yeah. He can call you on the phone when you're wide awake, and he can say, what are you doing? One, two, pick up this poo, and then hang up.
I've got a different chick in the bucket entirely, and my gosh. Robert Englund. What happened to Robert Englund?
He went out of town.
He leaves the country.
Yeah, he got out. He was like,
That's the question. Yeah, did he leave the country? Did he morph into Freddy? We don't know. That's kind of, I guess that was one of those.
Oh, because we never saw Freddy.
Hanging questions.
We never saw Freddy outside of the hand until England left town. See? Well,
we don't know. We don't know. Like, the movie gives you the idea that maybe she killed Robert Englund as Freddy. Freddy, like, made him into a Freddy in her universe, right?
Sure. But he still was invisible and shit. Like, it's just so... The rules are busted. When you call on the phone and you're wide awake, that breaks the rule of, oh, you're almost crossing over into sleep. That doesn't work that way. It's like, hey, baby, I'm freaking Freddy. And then you're like, shut up and don't call me again. Like,
that should have been his line.
Yeah, I agree.
I'm freaking Freddy.
But then the same guy, the limo guy, was the guy... We'll hear it later, but I think it's the same voice. Like,
he was hanging threads for sure, so that we would pull on him. I mean, I wasn't totally miffed by that or surprised.
I'm with you that she's a chick in the bucket, and I agree Robert Englund is, and I don't know who else. There's probably.
I want to know what happened to Rex. Did she sew him back together with all that red yarn had, or did she just let him go? Finally?
That was it. No more stuffed Rex animal.
The dumpster.
Yeah.
The dumpster.
Took him to the DI.
Toy Story 4. Rex is. To the dumpster.
Now there's a crossover nobody asked for. Let's have that happen.
Just like part three.
Easy there. Toy Story 3 is great. You are crazy still for having this weird opinion of yours that it's not.
Nobody asked for it.
No one asked. But everyone went and loved it.
Is this our first time seeing product placement for Barks Root Beer? Because Barks has got bite.
That was actually the reason why my rhyme at the beginning had to do with advertising Weetabix. I couldn't figure out how to get Barks in there, but Weetabix seems like it works. Just
one, well. Two, Barks is something. No, okay, yeah. Wes Craven and Nancy were both drinking Barks at the beginning of this this movie in her dream.
Right.
She was drinking hers through a straw. Do you guys drink canned soda with a straw?
Sure.
You weirdo.
Sometimes. Sometimes.
If I want it to last longer.
Yeah.
I need a barrier between me.
If I'm at a, if I'm drinking a pop outdoors and there are straws available, I will do that because it keeps the, the bees out of your can, right? So you can
take
the straw, put the straw in there, and then you take the pull tab and turn it 180 degrees so that it keeps
the bees
out.
Keeps the hole covered.
Well, that's not bad. The only way you do product placement better is if they're walking around and Wes Craven turns to the camera and says, I'm Wes Craven, and I've been craving a cool, tall glass of Barks Root Beer.
Oh, he missed out on that.
Yeah.
I'm Wes, and I've been craving.
Yeah. Craving. Anyway, let's see what else do we... Oh, I had a trope. Here we go. Kid who knows what's happening before any of the adults do. It's the kid from, the other thing. It's the Torrance kid. It's the same thing. It's just like, he's the medium. We can all, if we just had noticed before. No, he's just being a kid and he's crazy. And that nurse helps compound it. You're not showing him those movies you're in, are you? Like, who says that?
If I had to hear one more time someone's concern that Heather Langenkamp was showing her kids her movies, I was going to reach into the screen and kill them myself.
Yeah.
Shut up.
That's lame.
That's where it's supposed to feel, right?
Yeah.
Stop it, you big hoses.
Okay, I guess you're right.
Oh, the scariest thing. I did write down the scariest thing I saw in the movie. The scariest thing in the movie, I thought, was falling asleep while driving. Nothing to do with Freddy. Who cares? But I've done this, and I had an experience driving home from L.A. once with my dad. He was in a car way ahead of me, and I was in a car behind him. He would buy cars out there at auction, bring them back here and sell them. And I would get way behind him Or I the way I'd keep awake is I'd zoom up to him and then back up and zoom up to him and back up.
which he loved.
No, he loved that. But it was a way to keep me awake. It was like a way of gamifying it. But I remember being so tired one time that when I had my eyes open, I saw ahead of us an overpass. This is way out in the desert, you know, some exit. And I saw an overpass like exit thing. Close my eyes for what I thought was just a blink. When I opened them again, that overpass was like a football field behind me.
Right.
And I completely about lost it. It scared me so bad that for the rest of the time I was like a gerbil. My eyes wouldn't shut. I was like,
oh yeah. Yeah. That's a scary feeling. Those blackouts.
Oh, when he would swerve like that, that really gave me the willies. I didn't like it.
Well, totally scare you. Yeah. Hey, do they make Chinese to go boxes that big? Like in the start of this movie?
only for horror movies where you have a little, little Shop of Horrors plant coming
right,
out of it.
Right, yeah. That's like, was it like 10 pounds of rice? That would be a lot of rice in that thing.
That's right.
Yeah.
We're up with all that rice.
Did they? Go ahead.
Here's a funny thing. I don't need a Trump alert for it, but did you know that whenever there's an earthquake, you live in California and you go through an earthquake in the middle of the night, one of the things that'll always happen is your stuff will fall and break. Mm-hmm. Then when there's an earthquake the next day, someone has come along and replaced all your stuff, and it will fall and break and make the exact same sounds. The exact same sounds the next day.
Yeah, the quakes were a little annoying. It was a 6.8 quake according to the TV lady, and I was trying to actually, the one we saw was an aftershock, which was less, but 6.8 quake is that how jarring it is? Because
was it actually happening? Because I always assumed that later on I was never sure if there were quakes at all. The hospital lady's like, we didn't get an earthquake, and
yeah, because she's experiencing some quakes, but that one was a real quake because Chase experienced it, and the newscasters were talking about it on TV.
Yeah, but didn't the newscaster lady come on the TV once when the power was unplugged? Like, I never knew. Again, the rules.
I thought it was just Nightmare on Elm Street would only play when the TV was unplugged.
Right, that's what I was thinking.
There was a scene where she shut that off, though, when she was talking.
Mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
Then during the earthquake, it forced itself on again and talked to her again.
Yep.
I don't like that.
That's totally dumb. Throwback to the first one.
Yeah, it's dumb. It's dumb. You're not in the dream yet. You're out of the dream. Or are you?
I enjoy
it. You're three levels in. There's probably some guy driving a van real slow into the river. Hurry up down there. I almost said Philip Michael Thomas, which is not a name of anyone. Anyway, the point is
close though.
All right. Close. Right. There's like three names of nobody. Right.
Yeah. Who am I thinking? Who's the kid in Inception that was on Third Rock from the Sun? I can't think of his name.
Oh,
Joseph Gordon-Levitt. I knew it was a three
Michael
name.
Baker Wahlberg.
I knew it was three names. Go ahead.
I miss another thing too. This mid-90s TV show reminded me of bag phones and all the flip phones and the different, total different technology of phones back in the day.
The big old StarTAC phones. Mm. And
phones
where you had to carry like a little suitcase box around with it.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The house phones, even the big antenna house phones were pretty funny to watch.
Oh, yeah, with the cord, curly cord.
Back then it seemed normal. Now they look so stupid.
The whole generation will never have that experience of like being tethered to the wall to talk on the phone.
Nope. That will mean nothing to anyone. Well, I mean, maybe they'll see it and think it's quaint.
Maybe we should force it.
Yeah. I'll tell you what holds up is your Lyft driver trying to chat you up. Woo, man, that was so current. Mm-hmm. Felt like 2017.
Yeah, she was like, let that window up, baby.
You'd so get 5 stars on every Lyft ride if you had a little window that you could put up in your car. Like, all right, there you go.
Yeah. 1 out of 5 would bail on the freeway again. That's what they'd say. Yeah, that guy sucked. I hated him. And thought of him a lot after the movie. CRT monitors everywhere is something I noticed. That's always fun to see. A little 4x3 action, all the TVs and everything. You forget 94 was just about, we were almost to a place where that stuff's about to change. We're just getting there.
Yep.
And then the tongue thing. So I made the mistake of reading the trivia before that said, hey, Wes Craven really wanted to get back to the sinister, dark, whatever version of Freddy. Less humor. And then the tongue scene happened, and I went, no, he didn't. This is the ridiculous bullshit happening right now with that tongue.
That is about it, though. I mean, you know, humor-wise, there wasn't a whole lot in this movie.
No, hardly any. Maybe none, kind of, overall. Mm-hmm. Like, he would go on to do
but
some
the tongue
kind
was about
of,
it.
Like, some funny stuff in Scream, I thought. A lot of the Scream stuff was funny. But here, he was like, nope. Don't feel funny. Except this tongue thing. Let's put it all in the tongue scene, you guys. It'll be funny. And I'm not sure that was intentionally funny, but him like thrashing around, and I was laughing my head off. That's the dumbest scene I've ever seen.
I think also, he needs to go back and watch the first one. Go ahead, Randy.
The very first scene was also funny with these nerds, and they're making a movie with a hand. Ish. Like there were just some weird, like, oh, the hand's now crawling on the floor. Ooh.
Oh yeah, like running around like thing from the Addams Family. Yeah.
I'd say ish, funny ish.
This was funny ish. This was a great practice round for Craven before Scream, though. I mean, he got to try out a few things that he did well in Scream that he didn't do as well here, and kind of like was a testing ground. He was workshopping his Scream ideas.
Right. I think he like overcorrected, because I think he was so mad that they took Freddy in such a silly direction. He got, you know, took it personal, and he pulled it all the way back. But if you go back and watch the first one, there is a combination of a foundation for the humor and the horror in the first one. And I think he just kind of maybe pulled a little too far back and said, no, he's not going to be funny at all, except for this tongue thing.
Yeah. Last movie he directed was Scream 4. Mm-hmm. Did not do great critically, but it was like the final deal. And
has a part four of anything ever done well critically?
Hold on.
Star Wars. Do you count A New Hope?
Right.
Yeah, Star Wars. You can't count that.
I don't count your
funny really
math.
Because it would be Phantom Menace would be the part four, really.
Yeah. Wait, Indiana Jones. Oh, no, wait, that's terrible. Never mind. No. Four is terrible. What am I saying? Three was good. Four is awful.
Oh, right.
Star Trek 4. Oh, wait.
Wait, no, four has got the whales in it. That's
the whales, yeah.
Oh, I'm going to think
I
of
I like the whales, but I know it's...
I love the whales.
There's no good part four. Brian Ebbett's
oh,
right.
Oh, I got it. What? Mad Max Fury Road. Mad Max
oh,
Fury
shit.
Road.
Oh, shit.
That's a reboot.
That's part four.
It's ultimately the fourth Mad Max movie. I think it holds, and you're right, and it's the best example. There you go.
I'm not allowing it, but go ahead.
What are your rules? Right. Give me your Freddy rules.
Your Honor.
Yeah, do you have some rules?
It's not a real part four. I mean, it's a reboot.
Well, neither is Phantom Menace then, so we can't count that. What do we count?
Proper. Part four says, hey, I'm part four.
Oh, well, then you do count New Hope then, which is part one, technically. Yeah. Okay.
Technically.
All right.
On a technicality.
I like your rules. Path. Your dream. I like being in your dream. Your dream is a good dream. all right. Tongue I wrote. Oh, not sorry. Clips. Let's do clips. Clips.
Tongue I wrote.
Yeah. Tongue That's I wrote.
My favorite Angela Lansbury.
Oh, she was so good on Tongue I wrote.
Tongue I wrote.
Oh, I got one.
Oh,
I
what?
Just thought of it. Rambo 4. Oh. Rambo 4 is the best of the four Rambo movies.
Yeah.
The one that came out called Johnny Rambo?
The newer one.
It's just called John Rambo. Yeah.
Yeah,
John
that Rambo, is a better Rambo. Movie than, yes. I'll give you that one. All right.
And that is a true four. That's not a reboot or nothing. I still got the guy in it.
You know what? That's a good point. I am going to allow this. Dunaway's right. If it's not, this is a Fury Road's a remix or reboot. I don't think
it's a remix. I like remix.
I mean,
it's a remix.
I guess it is. I don't know if it really is or not. They never really said. It's not like they didn't redo the story of the first movie at all. So maybe it's not a reboot. Maybe it's a true sequel. It's just a different actor. That can still count, right?
Yeah, I'd be down with that. Yeah, as long as it's supposed to be in the same world.
Okay, then Mad Max wins.
Same sequel.
Mad Max wins. Take that.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I'm backtracking.
Wow. But I think you've proved there's a lot of movies out there with at least three sequels, and I think you've proved the point, which is, man, the third sequel sucks.
Yeah.
Usually.
Yeah. Third and fourth
was
blow.
Which was the fourth Harry Potter film?
That wasn't their best work.
Goblet of Fire.
Yeah, it's one of their best books, but not one of the best movies for sure.
Yeah.
The books, that book is amazing.
Well, I don't know. I like Goblet
one.
Of Fire.
It's all right.
It's got that Patton. Pattengeiner, right?
Exactly. It's got the vampire kid.
Robert Pattinson.
Yeah, he dies at the end. And then what
hey,
else?
Hey, whoa. I'm still on part three.
It's also supposedly where Daniel Radcliffe claimed he lost his virginity in a cast tent during the filming of Goblet of Fire.
Oh, Goblet of Fire is the worst because of the fact that they ran out of money for effects and they hide the little baby dragons from you.
Yeah. It's also bad because they completely changed the core plot of the thing, which really bugged me because the plot is great, but it's a huge plot. So I know why they did it. It bugs me.
When are we gonna sack
James
some
Bond
Potter?
4 was Thunderball.
That's not bad.
It's not bad.
It's definitely takes a turn for the James Bond series.
Thunderball. Yeah, I mean, oh, that she doesn't sing that one. Okay.
No. No, it's Tom Jones.
I love that you just said no.
No, it's not Basie.
That's too bad.
Passy.
I'm sure there's others. We just can't think of them.
Yeah, I know. You got to really think of some like long running.
Aliens. Aliens 4 is bad.
It's bad, yeah.
I mean, I like it just because it's stupid and great, but not because it's good. It's not good.
There's a hump to get over because as a society, we even have a word, a trilogy. And we don't feel comfortable saying quadrilogy. We don't feel comfortable saying that. So there's a mindset of trilogies that we'll accept a storyline that spans.
It's the law. It's the law. It's law of threes. There's a thing.
Right.
Yeah.
Then once you get to 4, you're kind of like, where are we at here? Well, we either got to start a new arc or we got to do something different.
Yeah. Why is Harrison Ford in a fridge? Why are we doing this?
Good question.
It's the question of our time. Seriously. Yeah. All right, moving on to these here clips here. I got some of these clips here. No doubt. And here's one. This is, it's a comment about the hand in the early goings.
Funny, it's warm. Just like a real hand.
Like a real hand.
I'm going to take this home.
A real hand with knives on it.
Right.
Here's the, I don't like the main dude I wrote. When I said main dude, I think I meant the husband. Here he is.
Heather. Yeah. You were probably half awake and saw my fingers get nicked when the mirror fell.
This is his. I talk like this. Ugh. Bleh. He got what he deserved. Wow. Horrible kid scream.
He deserved to die a fiery death.
Well, singing REM? Absolutely.
He didn't have a fiery death. He just got clawed up the chest, remember?
Oh, you're right. Yeah. I'm sorry. I was thinking there was more under that sheet, but you're right. It was just.
That could have totally happened when his truck crashed into that tree.
Yeah. I don't know why she chose that moment to barf. Maybe it's because she was in the morgue in general.
What was the barf? What was the barf technology in this? I mean, it was either spit or it was foam. Brown or foam. Yeah. It was never like what I usually throw up, which looks like soup.
Yeah.
What is
like beef, like freaking beef vegetable soup, Campbell's.
Yeah. Wow.
So what?
That's where I end up. Here's a horrible kid scream. How'd they get it that long? I don't know.
How did the kid sounded like a phone?
Yeah. Yep.
It's a neighbor calling.
Yeah. A horrible ringtone. Here's
the neighbor's calling to tell you to shut your kid up.
Could you please shut your kid up? Kid's making noise.
I wrote here freak out. I don't know why. Here's 7 seconds of what's called freak out.
Leave us alone, you son of a bitch.
LA limousine, ma'am. Just want you to know I'm out front.
I'm pretty sure that's Robert Englund.
How could they? He could. It probably was.
Or was it that guy?
He couldn't have read that any more smarmy, could he? Could that be read any more smarmy than that?
L.A. limo, ma'am. Service. Ma'am. All right, here's one of the.
Cervix.
Wow. Went there, did we?
Hey, you said could even make it any creepier.
Yeah. You know what? You're right. You did.
I think I said smarmy, but I'll go creepy.
Smarmy, okay. Yeah. All right, yeah. Smarmy.
Yeah. So you wouldn't go with cervix references. Here's a wanting to punch this guy clip.
That's right. You have a little boy. What's his name?
Shut up. He was a dick. I hated that interviewer guy. Ugh. Yeah. Oh, that's right. And I'm 2 inches from your face, and I'm leaning way over, and I suck.
I don't know anything. I don't know anything about those kind of interview shows where they do it on a back lot of somewhere. I don't know anything about those. How those people got in there? Mm-hmm. How there were jugglers in the back lot juggling through the. I didn't understand any of that.
Well,
it made no sense to me.
I don't. Yeah, but it's whatever. Hollywood. It's like Vegas.
Hollywood weird.
You're like on the rad, beautiful, glinty strip, and then you get behind some alley in Vegas, and you're like, ugh, what's going on back here? That's what Hollywood's like.
She lives in the Hollywood Hills and he's working in Burbank 14 hours away. That was what bugged me.
Yeah, there were some geographical anomalies going on. He did say it would take him 3 hours to get home, but when they called, it was middle of the afternoon.
I want to know why.
Well, that's true also.
LA
but,
traffic.
But why are you so tired and why is it so late? Like, yeah, he must have had LA traffic.
Only traffic in this movie. I was curious how they filmed that. I need to go back and watch it again, but with the highway scene. That was intense. It was also stupid, but it was intense with the number of cars that were on that
highway scene
coming towards where the kid when he's trying to cross the road.
Oh yeah, that was pretty effective. I mean, there were a couple of green screen moments where I was like, "Oh brother," but most of it was kind of cool. I liked all the Freddy shadows that were running around on the side.
Oh right, yeah, I don't know why it reminded me of that Eminem thing he did at the MTV Movie or Video Awards, like back in like '99 or something.
I don't remember. What did he do? And he did something
like
that?
It was like he basically had a bunch of people all dressed like Eminem, and he, you know, he was among the crowd and performing. Guess who's back? Back again.
Because wasn't that based on the video?
Could you tell who was the real Slim Shady when you looked at all those people? Could you pick him out?
Because he found a bunch of people that all really looked like him.
Wow. All right. Yeah. This guy just made me laugh with this line.
Risotto con tartufi.
I'm sure that's exactly how you say it. Yeah, risotto exactly. con tartufi.
What does that mean?
Risotto
I didn't look it up.
Risotto with, I don't know, it's like a Italian dish that he's telling somebody to get.
Okay.
Yeah. What's tartufi?
I don't know. I've heard of tartufo.
That's maybe he's just saying it wrong.
Risotto con tartufi.
Yeah.
Tartufi. Tartufi. I was puking some tartufi last night.
Didn't even try. He didn't even try.
It's Italian for the hypocrite. So get risotto with hypocrite.
Great. Perfect. Perfect. That sounds just exactly right. All right. Kids love horror.
Oh, come on, Heather. Kids love horror.
No, they don't. Not kids.
Thanks. Thanks, Scott. That was great. No, they don't.
Not like 6-year-olds.
Well, I'll tell you this. 9-year-olds, 9, 10.
Sure.
That's when a lot of kids start getting into horror.
But not six, 5 and 6. Yeah, don't. That's too young. It's too young. I'll say out loud, I saw things when I was 8 where I was like, wish I hadn't. I mean, right.
I've been trying to watch Orville as soon as it comes on.
Oh, mm-hmm. So good.
Every week. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it's so good. And I've gotten to where I have to chase my kid out because he'll come walking in. And in the most recent episode, there's a scene where everybody gets burned to death, where all the bad guys get burned to death. And my kid, here comes my kid with these big wide eyes, like, get out of the room.
You wouldn't think you'd have to shoo him out for, you know, a comedy
the
space
Orville,
parody.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Miko should have been about 8.
Got to start watching that, Scott.
I know.
Right.
Shit.
Miko should have been about 8 in real life when this was being filmed.
I agree.
7 and 8.
He would have been, you're saying?
Oh, yeah, because he was born in 86, early February 22nd, 1986. So I would say probably about 7 or 8.
Yeah, and he was, 7 or 8. But he looked younger. He played younger.
Yeah, I think they were supposed to be casting him younger than that, though, I think.
Yeah, I think you're right. Never sleep again?
Never sleep again.
Conjuring his best Donald Duck impression.
Yeah.
That was ridiculous.
That sucked. Here he is saying, mm-hmm. All right. And then I got this.
Finish, please.
Oh, yeah. It's starting to annoy me.
Wait, what was that again?
It was,
finish, please.
Finish,
oh,
please.
Oh, I thought he said bitch, please. I'm sorry. Okay. I'm like, don't talk to your mom like that.
Wow. That would have been so much better.
Please. Yeah.
Bitch, please.
He likes this story.
I like this story.
Okay. All right, Junior, just get under the bed and do your Donald Duck. Here's something he said that I couldn't figure out. You guys help me translate. Okay, so here goes.
Girl ran and left her there to perish nonetheless.
What did he say?
One more time.
Hold on. I think Dunaway nailed it. There it is again.
Girl ran and left her there to perish nonetheless.
What?
And they continue to live there and perish no more. Something like that.
I don't know.
Oh, is this when she's reading the story of the Wicked Witch and the Hansel and Gretel thing?
And he finishes
and
it.
Her mom
smothered,
leaves.
Oh, so it's maybe the smothered with kisses. Say one more
girl
time, sorry.
Girl ran and left her there to perish nonetheless.
And perish nonetheless. I don't know.
That's what it sounds like. Weird. I can't quite tell.
It's super weird.
Yeah.
Take 400. Okay, that's fine. We'll keep that one. That's one thing. Here's, I don't know what this is.
Come on. That's when he was trying to stay awake in the truck. I love it.
All right, yeah.
Come on. I was so glad I had the closed caption on because that whole screen filled up of come on.
Did it really?
Yeah, it did.
Oh, man, that's awesome. You should have
screenshot that. Yeah.
Come on.
I love it.
Save that for Stump Dunaway on TMS.
Right, that's a good one. That's a good one, yeah. All right, something about Looney Bin.
If having a screwy family made a person crazy, the whole world would be one big Looney Bin.
So that guy was supposed to be family friend, who's also an actor, who played her dad cop in the
John
first
Saxon.
Movie.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Who we just saw in Strange Brew. What was the one where he was like the mean business guy?
What was he? did we watch recently?
It was very recent. Wow. Like
it was, yes, like within the last couple of weeks of Film Sack.
And he was like a Electric Horseman.
No wonder we couldn't come up with it.
Yeah.
It's hard locking all that out.
I was trying to remember. But... it was something about he was mad about a commercial or something, and then it all came into view.
Yeah. By the way, isn't it weird that Robert Redford and Jane Fonda immediately premiered a film on Netflix after we watched Electric Horseman?
Yeah, like the next week, yeah.
We have a way of doing that somehow.
It's so weird.
Our show reminded them of how much they enjoyed working together, and and they really quickly filmed and released.
I went ahead and watched it, and it's a perfectly fine film for, like, my mom.
My mom,
I think, would like the movie about the old people.
Yeah. is that the plot? It's just
the
old
movie
people?
About the old people.
Okay.
I don't want to give anything away. Robert Redford and Jane Fonda are old people, widow and widower, who kind of come together in an elderly relationship because, you know, they're lonely.
Mm. Seniors, is there senior sex scenes? Do I have to be subjected to that? Senior sex?
I don't know that it's depicted as such.
Mm. Good. Good. I'm happy to hear that.
Okay.
Here's a sound someone made. Okay. And then, let's see what else. I don't remember what she was doing, but it made me laugh. Oh, I wrote, this is seriously hokey. Here you go.
And for 10 years, he's been held captive pretty much as Freddy in the Nightmare on Elm Street series. But now that the films have ended, the genie's out of the bottle. That's what the nightmares are telling me, and that's what I'm writing.
Yeah. Somebody and shut those seagulls up!
Either of you guys have to really turn up the volume when Wes Craven was delivering lines.
I did.
Yes.
I did, yes. And I artificially amplified that clip because it was so quiet.
Might be why I had closed caption on.
Yeah. Close captioning for the Wes Craven impaired.
I hope he uses a bullhorn when he's directing.
Mm-hmm.
All right, now I want you to move to center stage.
But then he seemed like the nicest guy.
Oh, he does.
He totally does.
He totally does. I've heard an interview with him kind of recently. I think it was Terry Gross or somebody. And he was great. What a nice guy. Seemed to be very humble about his success and, you know, was surprised by all of it and just a nice dude. That would be great to work on set with a guy where you're trying to make horrible things, and he's not horrible.
The nice, most soft spoken, gentle, right.
Which is probably even scarier,
right?
Yeah, maybe
opposite of Harvey Weinstein.
With you,
hopefully. Here's almost there.
Almost there.
Oh, it's the kid again doing the.
I'm going really low.
Here. I can talk while I belch.
Oh, did you write? I don't know why that just hit my brain, but was the actress from am I getting confused with Hellraiser last week? I remember seeing the actress from those Insidious movies.
Mm.
Was she in this movie?
Oh,
did she make a cameo in this movie, or was it Hellraiser?
Don't know. Insidious. Who's the main lady in Insidious? I heard that movie's good. Insidious.
Oh yeah. Oh, they're great.
Yeah.
They're fantastic. Let me hold on a second.
Oh, you're talking about Rose Byrne. She would have been very young then. She was born in 79,
Not Rose Byrne. No.
Oh. She was in 20.
She's Moira McTaggart.
Lynn Shay. Was she in she was in this. Yeah. Well, she was in the first one, Lynn Shay.
Oh, right.
And she must have made a cameo in this one.
Oh, she was a nurse. The first nurse, not a needle nurse.
Yeah.
The nurse that gives him the first pill that he tucks into his cheek and then spits out as soon as she leaves the room.
I wanna talk to first nurse, not needle nurse.
Yeah.
You know her also as the very leathery woman in There's Something About Mary, Mary's roommate
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
By the way, Insidious, these Insidious movies,
they're so good.
2010 was the first one. That's crazy. I feel like that was yesterday. Oh my God.
You should watch them.
Okay.
You should watch them. They're good.
All right.
They're so good, Scott.
I've heard they're good.
So good.
I've heard they're great. I really like Patrick Wilson.
And they
might
actually scare you.
I like Patrick Wilson. He's cool. That guy's great.
Yeah. Aren't these set in the?
We looked. You might recall when we were planning this October, we looked.
We looked for Insidious?
Like, yeah. But didn't they? This is all set in the 70s or something, right?
Well, the videotapes are from the 70s.
Oh, I thought so the whole like, thing was set there.
No.
Okay.
So it's kind of like a found footage-y kind of thing?
No, not the whole thing. Some of it is.
Okay.
Some of it is. So well, some of his childhood that he's flashing back to is based in the 70s.
Okay. Well, I like Patrick Wilson a lot. He's not Blue Wiener from...
No, he's not Blue Wiener.
No, he's the owl guy. Night Owl. No, Night Owl? Is that his name?
Batman, yeah.
No. On the
Batman of that universe. Watchmen. Yeah.
He's...
Damn.
He's the owl guy. What's his name? Night Owl. That's it.
Owly.
Yeah, Night Owl.
Night Owl, yeah. Was...
Owly.
Owly.
That's actually a great...
Oh my gosh. I don't know. Wait, did I already play this? No, I did. Okay, final one. Here you go.
Believe me, everything is fine.
I don't agree. I think nothing's fine. All right, well, check this out. It's the film sack checklist. And it goes like this. Dumb 90s shirts. Check. I hate those shirts. Like big, open, unbuttoned, baggy, triple X sized button downs. I hate them. They're 90s.
Yeah, they were an improvement from the 80s shirts.
True.
Continue.
But barely. Yeah.
This movie also had 90s glasses, and they were such an improvement over 80s glasses.
Yeah.
It's all not as massive as 80s glasses.
Yeah.
Right.
History's
rising. Did you guys look? I can tell you how big glasses from the 80s were. They were so big that the doctor would offer you little stickers you could put in the corner. You had such surface
such
area.
A massive field of vision
surface area. We can block part of it.
You can promote STP products in the corner.
True story.
Let's see. People get over the dad way too quick. Check. And too many dreams within dreams within dreams. Check.
Yeah, I don't know.
Dreamy.
I wish I don't know.
Daryl.
I'm kind of mad at Wes for this plot. Mm. Like maybe it could have just been more straightforward, you know, and Freddy is real. Like, that's it. Freddy's real.
I think he had no... I think he didn't want to do this unless he got to do something that was weird. I don't know. I just the impression I get. Because he didn't want anything to do with the other ones, really.
Right. And he was about to scream, like we've said a couple of times. He was looking for something different.
Yeah, and this gets him some cred with producers and everybody. If you can have a successful Freddy reboot thing, then you can move on to do your little pet project called Scream, which ended up being this enormous hit. I didn't know he was the director on Red Eye. Did you guys ever see that movie with
Yes,
that's a great movie.
Is that the Leota movie on a plane with Holly Berry, or am I thinking of something else?
You're thinking of something else. Killian Murphy or Cillian Murphy, however you say his name.
That's Killian right. Murphy. I remember this movie.
Rachel McAdams. It's
Rachel
awesome.
Rachel McAdams. Oh, okay. Yes. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, but it still takes place on a plane. I'm thinking of the right thing. Okay, good.
Yeah, he's a convict or a serial killer or something, and he's on this plane.
Yeah, it's Nightmare on Plane Street. Like, seriously.
Yeah,
pretty much.
It's great. It's great.
Yeah.
But it's totally real, and there's no supernatural bullshit. It's just, like, straight up.
What?
Yeah, there's no, like, magic in it. It's just, he's a killer, and she's... It's like she got on a plane with Jeffrey Dahmer if Jeffrey Dahmer was a little tougher than he was.
Yeah.
He's just some kind of psycho, and he's going to kill everybody on this red eye flight.
Can you say the name of that serial killer again?
Who? Jeffrey Dahmer?
Jeffrey
Dahmer.
How do you say it?
There's no L.
Oh, I always thought it was Jeffrey Dahmer.
It's an H, isn't it? Dahmer? Dahmer?
Jeffrey Dahmer.
I think so.
I don't know. Maybe he ate the H.
H was delivering a pizza to his house and he killed him and ate it.
You're totally right.
Hey, put him in the freezer. We can't make jokes about this.
You're totally right. Here, I have it. Here's the pronunciation of it. Oh, hold on. Let's play this on YouTube. Oh, this has one of these swirly things that takes forever to get through.
Oh, yeah.
Hate that.
Jeffrey Dahmer.
See, it sounds like Dahmer.
I love the fact that they...
Jeffrey Dahmer.
It's Dahmer. You guys are right.
I love that they have to have a pronunciation guide for that. Like, every word they've done. Oh, my God.
Yeah, it's pretty weird. It's the internet.
Hey, you'll get a good 1,500 views over 7 years.
I know. I wonder how much money they're making from those. It's got to be a lot, right? Or else they wouldn't do them.
I think they're doing great. I don't know if there are any ads on those, though. I've never seen them.
Yeah, me either.
Yeah, I've never seen a single ad there. What else? Star Trek connection. Daryl said there were none, but I found one. Into Darkness there with Lady Pants. She was the alien head.
Right. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Sure. Right. Langenkamp.
We talked about earlier. So, yeah. I think he just didn't. For some reason, that may have been too small of a role or something. He didn't have it. Soundtrack gave it a B for bleh. Wasn't that great? It's okay. Had moments, but mostly boring.
It was good variations on the theme. From the first one.
But whenever the kid was around, she was talking to having mom kid moments. It was like Saturday afternoon, freaking Hallmark Channel stuff. It was a bad,
right,
real bad. Twitter post. This is where you guys sum it up in 140 characters or less. Or Randy says he's going to do 280. Let's see how he does. Let's start with Randy.
Wes Craven's New Nightmare, a movie within a movie that asks the question, what won't you guys put up with in terms of pure vanity projects? And answers it with a resounding, I don't know, man, we'll put up with just about anything. The end, fade out, music, credits.
Nice. You can get a hashtag in there, too, if you want.
Roll.
Well done. Dunaway.
I haven't been upgraded yet, so I'm going with Wes Craven's New Nightmare, like a game of Freddy's Crossy Road. Never download again.
Very nice.
Crossy Road.
Finally, Ibbot.
Wes Craven's New Nightmare. And then Brian wrote his Twitter post. The co-hosts laughed and they lived happily ever after.
Nice.
Or did they?
Hashtag meta.
Meta, very meta. Meta upon meta. Well done. Well, that means that we've only really got this left. Alternate titles just handed to me. It was almost called Wes Craven's Fourth Wall, so that was a thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Or Earthquake 2, funny enough. They were going to call it Earthquake 2. I've seen Earthquake, so sequel needed.
Which one?
Earthquake 1. What was the one? Old one. There's an old Earthquake.
Irwin Allen, they've had a whole bunch of them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They don't do those much. Not a lot of natural disaster ones lately. Although, yeah. I guess this new Geostorm.
The Geostorm?
Yeah. I guess that is lately. That's very lately. In fact, it's in theaters now. How'd that do? Hold on.
I don't know. Did okay, right? I don't think it did.
Well, nothing's doing great in theaters right now.
Well, let's talk about that again.
Yeah, let's do that. Let's go all into that.
I'll tell you, though, the one for me is the movie Volcano with Tommy Lee Jones and Hesh.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Don Cheadle.
Didn't like Dante's Inferno instead?
But Volcano's fantastic.
Volcano.
Oh, here it is. There's only two reviews up so far, so they have no rating, but they're both negative. One is for Geostorm. One is, this movie is where special effects are relied on so heavily that acting, dialogue, and wardrobe do not matter. Somebody from the South China Morning Post says the climate change angle is mere window dressing to what is essentially another Gerard Butler action film. So it sounds like a real winner.
Sign me up.
Yeah.
Guys.
From the producers of Independence Day. So I'm down with what do you think he's going to get?
Until Thursday.
Thursday.
Oh, that's the reason why. Because they released in China already?
Yeah, it's already out in China.
When we say they don't make natural disaster movies anymore, how quickly we forget the 5 Sharknado films.
Yeah, but those are. Well,
that's not natural.
That's freaking sci-fi. I don't count them.
Yeah, how quickly we try to forget those 5.
There are 5.
But somebody keeps bringing them up.
Yeah, but not one
5
of them.
Not, Sharknado films.
But not
guys.
One of those are in a theater ever. Like, that's the difference for me. I don't know. That's funny.
No, they're way too good for theaters.
too good for theaters. Sure.
I can only watch this at my house.
Seriously, I just have to tell you, two of the people that were in Sharknado 5. Nobody saw it?
No.
No.
Oh, seriously? Okay.
Yeah, no.
Yeah. You're surprised?
Right. Two of the people in Sharknado 5 included Chris Kattan, who should be in all schlocky films, and I shit you not, Clay Aiken is in this movie.
Wow. Chris Kattan. I was going to say, what is Chris Kattan doing? But if this is what he's doing, I'm a little worried about his career. Didn't quite go... It's not Night at the Roxbury 5 we're talking about here. Is that Chris Kattan? That was Chris Kattan. Night at the Roxbury.
Sharknado 5 was really, really good, guys. Like, the United States, by Sharknado 4, United States has been destroyed by Sharknados. So this one takes place in England.
That sounds terrible.
I've tried. I can't do it. We watched one. That was enough for me.
Yeah, it's too dumb. Can't do it.
That's like saying, hey, do you want to see Centipede 2 where they go even further? No, thanks.
Yep.
Seen the first one.
Yep.
I'm good.
Millipede. You should call that one. Ask your uncle. They don't have to be that old. All right. Hey, there's an email from Eric Johnson from Sandusky, Ohio, who are considering changing their name to anything but Sandusky. Anyway, here's what he says. Greetings, Sack Pack. Hey, that's pretty good.
Hi. Oh, not bad.
Never heard that before. Been binging through your past horror movies, and you mentioned Tim Burton's Sleepy Hollow quite a few times. Just a heads up. Get it, he says in parentheses. Sleepy Hollow is on Netflix streaming. It would be an ideal sack and cheese after you do Hellraiser and New Nightmare just before Halloween itself. Keep it up, Eric Johnson in Sandusky, Ohio. I've never seen it. So
what?
I know. List
of
shame.
One of my favorites again.
It's supposed to be great.
This just last week.
It's supposed to be amazing. It's supposed to be one of Tim Burton's best. I just never got around to it. But
and one of Depp's best.
What, you think so?
Depp.
All right.
Depp best.
He doesn't just act like a drunk British man. That'd be good.
Nope.
I want to see it. That'd be great.
We're gonna do something else for Halloween.
What are we doing? I have no idea.
We've found a film on Netflix called Hellions that is actually about trick or treaters. It's much newer than a lot of the things we watch. Every now and then we need to do a newish movie, you know, for the kids
that no one's have any experience with, so we have no idea if it's any good. Exactly.
Yeah. Right. And Hellions. We're gonna put this out right before Halloween. It'll come out on like the 29th or 30th. So perfect timing. Get your friends together and watch Hellions on Netflix.
Actually, it may come out the week after Halloween because it just hit me how our schedules are. So with
BlizzCon.
Yeah, because next week will be. So New Nightmare's our last movie.
Sherpa derpa.
It's technically our last October movie, but I have no problem watching it.
Yeah, because we won't film it before.
Yeah, we're not going to be here next week.
Record it.
Yeah, it's a long
story. But we talked about. Okay, all right. We got it. We got to talk about this.
That's why we did two. One yesterday, one. Well, that no one knows what we're talking about. Because this.
We talked about. Okay. But we're going to talk offline.
We'll figure it out.
Something's going to happen.
Aliens may rise once again. All right. You can email us just like Eric did there by using this email address, filmsack@gmail.com. And while you're at it, go to our website, filmsack.com, where you can find links to everything we do and how to review us and all that other fun stuff, including our Twitter account at filmsack. That will do it for us, for me, for Brian, and for Randy.
Yeah.
We'll see you next time.
Red rum.
Red.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
Believe me, everything is fine.